chapter 5, 1 Peter chapter 5. Now, I know it's late in time. But, you know, if we can sit and sing, we can sit under the preaching.
Amen.
Amen. So, we're not a church that goes by form or order. Now, I believe there's ought to be a little bit of organization when it comes to, amen, God's house and God's service. But I've enjoyed the good fellowship and good singing this morning. I do have a message on my heart. God knows why we need to bring it this morning, all right? 1 Peter chapter 5. Brother Rex Real, would you ask the Lord's blessings?
Our most gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, as we come before you this morning, we just want to thank you, Lord, for your many blessings, Lord, your mercy and grace, just for the opportunity, Lord, to be in thy house once again. Now we just ask you, Lord, in a special way, Lord, right now, to be at our pastor, Lord, give that unction, Lord, the sweet Holy Spirit. Recall the memories, Lord, each and every scripture, each and every verse, Lord, you have to say. Dear Lord, just simply and humbly preach him this morning, Lord, we pray. Give him clarity of thought, clarity of speech, Lord, and use him this morning, Lord. And we pray, Lord, that as your children, we'd open up our hearts, open up our ears, Lord. We'd receive the word, hear the word, Lord, but most of all, help us all to be doers of that word. And we pray for anyone here that's lost this morning, that they'd realize and see theirself in that shape, lost and undone without you. And we pray, Lord, that they'd come to you and accept you as their Savior this morning. Before we simply and humbly just ask you to pray in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen.
How much are you going to pray for the preacher?
Amen.
1 Peter chapter 5. Please pray for my voice. Verse number 5. The Word of God says, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. You may be seated. May the good Lord add his blessings. The more you pray for me, the easier to be. I believe every service in the house of God is an important service.
Amen.
God's been dealing with my heart, it seems like, this through the year. Amen. It seems like, and when we start getting to the end of the year, I start reflecting on back what we have done, what we've not done in the year. Now, that ain't what I'm preaching on this morning. Amen. God's got a different thought, but I want you to pray for me. There's greater things God wants to do with going home church. Amen. It's whether we want to do it or not. And whether that we allow God to do it or not. Amen. Brother, I love the burden. When I see somebody got a burden on their heart, amen, it encourages this preacher. Brother Travis said this morning to pray for soul winning.
Amen.
Listen, you may get sick of this, but it's the duty of our church.
Amen.
It's the duty of this church. It's the duty of you. We sin when we don't win somebody to the Lord.
Amen.
Brother Travis has been talking to me. Amen. I'm going to be talking to the deacon board. And you just be a praying, all right? All right, just by the way of introduction into our scriptures this morning, here in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 5 through 9 that we've read, I want to draw out just a minute, amen, verse number 6, especially verse 6 taken as a text. You know, just by introduction, there's a problem in verse number 6. Now, I ain't saying there's a problem with the verse, but there's a problem that's going to come out of that verse. Look at verse number 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. First of all, there's a problem there is because people are not living and humbling themselves under the mighty hand of God. We got problems in this world because people, everybody says they're a Christian, is not a Christian. My problem, amen, as a pastor, it ain't a problem, amen, after you get them to the house of the God. amen, to get them down to the altar. Sometimes that is a problem, but it ain't as big a problem. That is those that come to the altar, amen, committing to God, amen, praying to God, and what are they left? Amen. The problem is when they get back up out off of that altar, go back to their pew, go home to their house, amen, is to do what God spoke to their heart, amen, while they were on the altar. But a problem here is, in verse number 6, people are not humbling themselves under the mighty hand of God. And just for an introduction this morning, listen, there are three reasons I believe that, amen, that we should humble ourselves under the mighty hand. One said, amen, that the mighty meant, amen, it was a public exhibit of His power. Let me tell you something, I'm glad I serve an all-powerful God. Hey, let me stop right there and say this. Amen. Serving the Lord ain't for babies. Amen. Serving the Lord, amen, ain't something to mock at. Amen. Or, hey, Jesus is coming. Amen. And as I was thinking about this, amen, why, preacher? Hey, first of all, in just introduction, God is to be feared. We should humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God because God is to be feared. How many agree with that? He said that He resists, that He stands opposed. In verse number 5, He resists the proud. He said we need to humble. I believe the very thing we do not want to be, amen, is proud. Hey, not only that, the only way that we can escape judgment, the judgment of God's hand, is to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. I believe that pictures the mighty hand in two different ways. Amen. To the proud and to the humble. To the humble, God's hand, God's mighty hand means strength and power. To the proud, God's mighty hand means strength and power. But, amen, I believe it's applied in different aspects there. And to the humble, God's mighty hand means sovereignty and control. Amen. To the proud, God's mighty hand, amen, means sovereignty and control. To the humble, it means salvation and security. Amen. To the proud, it means warning and fear. You know what our problem is? People, hey, say they believe there's a God, but don't believe there's a hell. People believe there's a heaven, but don't believe there's a hell. People believe there's a God, but don't believe that there's an enemy called the devil. Let me say this again to the humble. Amen. God's mighty hand means care and protection. To the proud, it means anger and wrath. And to the humble, it means assurance and confidence. And to the proud, it means judgment and condemnation. I believe God's mighty hand, amen, provides two entirely different things for the humble and the proud. Somebody say amen right there.
Amen.
I believe the reason, amen, we must humble ourselves under the hand, the mighty hand of God is to escape the judgment of God. Let me tell you something, friend. You got to submit yourself under the mighty hand of God. You go to the work, you better have God's hand on you. Amen. When you go to school, you better have God's hand on you. Amen. When you go out those doors this morning, you better have God's hand upon you. If you ain't, you've got your fair game for the enemy. Bible said in our hearing, amen, He's out there to deceive, to destroy those that He may devour. Amen. I was thinking about this. Listen, Joshua 2:24 says that all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that ye might fear the Lord your God forever. Psalm 89:13, thou hast a mighty arm, strong is thy hand, and high is thy right hand. In Isaiah 59:1, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither His ear heavy that it cannot hear. We need to submit ourselves under the high, mighty hand of God. One, because God's to be feared. Secondly, we should do that because He's going to exalt the humble. In verse number 6, He said, hey, look what He said. It said there, amen, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that He may what? Exalt you in due time.
Amen.
He's going to exalt the humble, amen. Note that the humble are not yet exalted.
Amen.
The humble is not yet exalted, but in due time. Amen. There's coming a time. Amen. That today's coming when we shall, amen, they shall be exalted in all the glory and all the majesty of Christ. Amen. They shall be exalted to live with Christ and rule and reign for Him, with Him forever and ever. There's coming a day, folks. How many's looking forward to heaven? Not only that, thirdly, and I'll get off the introduction, we got to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God because God cares for us in verse number 7. Amen. Let me tell you something. He cares about our circumstances. He cares about your fears and your failures and your anxieties. He says, cast in all your care upon Him. What? For He careth for you. God's mighty hand will save and deliver you. How many knows that? God's mighty hand will look after you. How many knows that? Amen. I said it a while ago. Amen. That one said mighty meant. Amen. It was an exhibit of His power. I want to give you a story. Amen. Just by, I guess, introduction this morning. In the Depression days, there was a, I'm talking about them that's barely enough to eat. I'm not that old, Brother Keith. Amen. Anybody in here old enough to remember the Depression? Amen. Hey, listen, I'm talking about you just scrambled and scuffed, amen, for just anything. Amen. I mean, hard times. Much less, amen, any luxuries of life. There's a woman, amen, that had lost her husband to the war. She was raising her little boy and went down to the little corner drugstore there in town and said that out in the center of the aisle was a big old barrel. There's a sign on that barrel that said, a handful of candy, 2 cents. A handful of candy, too. How many remember that penny candy? Now, I am old enough. Now, I remember what they call penny candy. Amen. Adam don't remember penny candy. Amen. Amen. He don't remember. How many remember penny candy? I'm talking about, look there. Brother, you do. Keep your hands right. Look back through there. Amen. I'll tell you, hey, but there's a big old barrel sitting out in the middle of that corner drugstore. Amen. Aisle, and it said, a handful of candy, 2 cents. And so the little boy knew that times were rough. Amen. It was bad. And he surely knew that his mama didn't have 2 cents for a handful of candy. And he decided that while she shopped, he'd just go over to that barrel, look into the barrel, and admire that barrel, an ocean of candy. And as it was, he was just tall enough that when he got over there to that barrel, that his nose just touched the top of that barrel. There he was staring and gazing. Amen. There's a young man standing on a ladder stocking some shelves over on the side. Amen. And it was the owner's son that was doing that. And he knew the boy's daddy and knew he had been killed. And he looked and he saw the boy gaze into that barrel of candy and felt sorry for him. So he yelled from the ladder, amen, where he was stocking the shelves and said, hey, son, get you a handful of that candy and I'll pay for it. And instead of reaching over and getting a handful of that candy, now I don't know about you, but I'd have done it. How many would have done it? That little old boy stood there, amen, just stood there and began, just kept gazing into that candy. He just stood there. So the young man on the ladder thought, well, maybe he didn't hear me. So he said, hey son, my daddy owns this store, and I know you don't have any money. You just go ahead, get you a big handful of candy, and I'll pay for it. Now, I wouldn't have been told twice. And again, that young boy just stood there, totally ignored the man's request. By that time, his mother had caught on to the conversation. She turned around and heard, and that boy said, hey, I said, get you a handful of that candy. Boy just stood there looking. He came down off the ladder, the young man did. Came over to the little boy standing there with his little overalls on, barefooted, didn't have no shoes on. He said, son, didn't you hear what I said? Get you a handful of that candy and I'll pay for it. So the young man, just on his own, got a big old handful of that candy, stuffed it down in the little boy's overalls and said, now you go on. While him and his mother were walking home on the dirt road, him and his little overalls, candy in his pockets, barefooted. His mother said, son, you're not deaf. He said, I know. She said, I know you heard every time that the man told you to get a handful of candy. And I want to know why you didn't reach into that barrel and get you a handful of that candy when he told you to. He said, "Mama, his hands are bigger than mine."
Amen.
Whoopee! I don't know about you. He said, "Mama, his hand, aren't you glad this morning that you serve a God that his hand is much bigger than your hand?" Amen. There's time, there's a lesson that can be learned by that this morning. If we just learn to let God, hey, I tell you, we could get a whole lot more from God if we'd just stand there and listen and say, "God, the battle's not mine, it's yours." Amen. And realize that God can do it. Listen, that's what I'm going to preach on this morning. Amen. By the help of the Lord, his hand is much bigger than my hand. Listen, when it comes, number one, to saving that which is lost, his hand is much bigger than my hand. I want to say right here this morning, how many know you saved without a shadow of a doubt? Amen. I'm going to tell you something. Jeff Duncan can't save you. This church can't save you. Your wife can't save you. Your husband can't do that. You can have your name on as many church rolls as you want, but when you stand before an almighty God, it will not save you. Amen. In Matthew chapter 7, 27, some 2,000 years ago, when Jesus, amen, hung between heaven and earth, I'm glad that salvation was wrought. Salvation was made. And when it comes to the hand, have God's salvation hand, his hand is bigger than my hand. I don't care where you've been this morning. I don't care what you've done this morning. You say, "Hey, God won't save me." That's a good sign. God will save you. I believe as long as there's life, there's hope. Hallelujah. Hey, somebody said, "But preacher, I've tried it and I can't live it." You know why? Hey, man, listen, you ain't let the Lord live it in your life. Amen. I was thinking about this. It's simple. Listen, Deacon Board can't save you. Nothing I can do. Nothing going home to church can do. Amen. You can't save yourself. But his hand is bigger, amen, than mine. Here's a story of a rebellious son. I'll never forget, I heard. I mean, he was very rebellious. He was mean. I'm talking about I could get it, full of the devil. I mean, very, by the way, if you're a rebellious son or daughter, you're full of the devil. Boy, don't quite. Hey, sorry, let's practice. 1, 2, 3, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Listen to me. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying, listen, the Bible says, amen, rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft. We ain't going to preach on rebellion, amen. But what are you saying, preacher? Said his story about this boy that he even got so mean and rebellious that one day he smacked his mother. I mean, smacked his mother. Dad saw it. He said, "Hey, son, if you're old enough to strike your mother, you're old enough to be out on your own." Now you listen. Said, "I give you 2 hours to be out of my house." 2 hours came, he is gone. He said, "There ain't no rebel. There ain't no rebellion like that. Amen. Or there ain't no rebel like that's gonna live under my roof." He left out of rebellion, had no respect for his mom and daddy. Years went by, there wasn't no contact with him. Wasn't no fellowship with him. Didn't know where he was. Years went by. And his precious little mother got sick. And back in the back bedroom of that little house, ain't nothing but skin and bones. In the bed, eat up with cancer. Her husband asked her on her dying bed, "Amen, what can I do? Is there anything that I can do for you, amen, on your dying bed?" She said, "Only one thing." And said, "I know it's asking a lot. But I'd like to see my boy. I'd like to see my boy. I know it's asking a lot, honey, but I'd like to see him. It's been a long time. Just one more time. I'd like to see him." So his dad, amen, just put word out. He wouldn't even go trying to find him himself. He just put the word out. Several days went by, a knock came at the door. The dad knew in his heart that it was his son. He opened the door, and while the dad was looking down to the floor, said, "She's back there if you want to see her." Wasn't even acknowledged. Wasn't no handshake. Wasn't no "I love you." Wasn't no hug around the neck. "If you want to see her, she's back yonder." There's a lot of animosity there. Somebody help me here. The boy walked by his dad to the back room. And as he looked into the room, he couldn't believe his eyes. of the age and the sorrow of his mama laying there in that bed. He leaned over the bed and began to say, "Mama, it's been so long. I want you to know I'm so sorry for everything that I've ever done. Mama," said, "Oh, I'm sorry." Will you, in other words, while he was confessing and repenting to his mother, and while he was weeping so hard, he didn't realize that his dad came into the room, stood by her on the other side of the bed. And as he was weeping and telling his mama how sorry he was, she reached over with that little weak, trembling hand out from under the cover, grabbed her son's hand. While he was still weeping and confessing, she reached her other hand out from under the cover, reached over to the father's hand, and grabbed his hand, and with her last, I'm talking about dying breath, so weak, amen, and all she had left in her, she brought those two hands together. And when they brought those two hands together, you listen to me, amen, and that boy's hand touched that daddy's hand. They fell across the bed toward each other and on each other's shoulders. Amen, and began to weep. Amen, and they said, "You never heard such weeping and such crying." Amen, and carrying on. And when they got done embracing, they looked below them and found out that mom had already took her last breath and she had already died and went to be with the Lord. I want to say some 2,000 years ago, amen, let me tell you something. I'm on a bloody hill called Calvary. While Jesus was dying, you know what he done? He reached up into heaven, amen, and got the hand of God. Hey, you know what else happened? Oh, you listen to this preacher. He reached up into the hand of God. He reached way down to the earth and got me and got you and got sinful man. And you know what he done? He took the hand of God and put the hand of God back in the hand of man. Oh, hallelujah. And wow, Jesus is crying, "It is finished," on the cross. I'm glad, thank God. You ought to shout right there, hallelujah. I'm glad God's hand is bigger. God's hand is bigger than my hand. Let me tell you something, friend. When it comes, amen, to salvation, if you're here and you're praying for a lost loved one, you're praying for a lost friend or a lost neighbor, let me tell you something, friend. You just keep planting the seed. If you're here this morning and you're lost, let me tell you something. You get on your dying bed. I was talking about that atheist the other day. He died. Went on. I don't know if he ever made anything right. Do y'all know that? I don't know if he ever made anything right or not. Let me tell you something. On your dying deathbed, even before I left that man that day, he said, "I'm atheist. Didn't believe in God." You know what he asked me? Amen. I done told you one time. I'll tell you again. You know what he said? "You continue those prayers." I thought, hey, you ain't as much atheist as you think you are. Amen. For me, amen, wanting me to pray to a God that you don't even believe in. Amen. Let me tell you something, friend. God's able to save you this morning. But I'm going to tell you, I can't depend on my wife to get the glory. Amen. I can't go in on my daddy's coattail, my grandma's coattail. Amen. You must be born again. All that shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. Hey, and it ain't on your tradition you was raised up on. I tell you, all that's going to matter when you stand before a thrice holy God, amen, is what's written down in that book. Amen. And you'll be judged from the things in this book, all God's people said. And over the death of Jesus, the great hand of God was drawn back into the hand of man. I'm glad that I'm not the man I used to be. Amen. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. His hand is bigger than mine. How about yours? When he reached down his hand for me, lost and undone, without God or his son, when he reached down his hand for me. Amen. Listen, his hand's bigger than mine when it, number two, comes to supplying my needs. Angie, did you come to the piano? Told you it wasn't going to be too long. His hand's bigger than mine when it comes to supplying my needs. How many's ever seen God supply your needs?
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Anybody in here never thought you didn't know what to do next?
Amen.
And God opened the door. Raise your hand. Amen. God opened the door. Amen. You know what we should do? We should submit under the mighty hand of God. Humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. Because let me tell you something, friend. How many rode to church in a vehicle this morning? Now, I didn't say a Cadillac. It don't make no difference what you rode to church in. If you rode to church in a vehicle this morning, I don't care if it's what you consider a piece of junk or a cobwheel wagon, you got to the house of God. How many on your choosing eat breakfast this morning? Raise your hand. You eat breakfast? How many on your choosing didn't eat but could have eaten? Raise your hand. See there? You know why you could eat this morning if you ate? You know why you could have eaten if you decided you wanted to eat? It's because God supplied that need. I don't know about you, but God's hand's bigger than my hand. He said, I'll supply all your need. I remember Ruth over there. You remember Ruth? You remember me preaching on it? Oh, by the way, I got to tell church this. Now, I mentioned to some of you. You know, Brother Steve Wagers preached on Ruth that one night. You remember that? And he titled, I'm Going That Way. You know what? I preached that message and didn't know he preached it. Here? Not, did anybody ever catch that he preached what I preached or I preached what he preached? I didn't. Now go from there. Preacher, there ain't no way. God knows what he needs. Why would God want that message again? Because some of you can't remember him preaching. Amen. What are you saying, preacher? Listen to me. When Ruth, you know what? She had a need. Hey, man, I'm not going to go through the whole story, but boy, she got in the field of grace, didn't she? She got into Boaz. Boy, that kinsman redeemer. Hallelujah. And let me tell you something. God can supply what you have in need of. Amen. This morning. Whether it's physical, God can supply it. Mama, God touched your body in the last few weeks. Amen. How about, you know what, Kathy, tell me, God's touched Kathy in the last few weeks. Not just her, but many through this church. You know, God can supply it physically. He can supply it spiritually. He can supply it financially. I'm glad I got a God that's hands bigger than my hand. Hallelujah. All we got to do is allow him to, hey, be submitted to that hand of God. Now listen to me, old Ruth. Well, Boaz said, now listen, boys. I believe he looked at her and said, I love the way she looks. I'm just ad-libbing. He called his eye. She called his eye. And by the way, it was a privilege to get to be a gleaner in those days. And she just has to glean in the field. In other words, give me some of the leftovers. Give me just what the sheathers and the sheaves, what falls off the reapers that are reaping, what just falls off, what just falls back. Let me just let me glean a little bit of that. And when she gleaned a little bit of that, you know what? He looked at the boys and said, now boys, here's what you do. Just every row and then, that's his thing. Or every now and then, amen, just every now and then, I want you little handfuls. Just fall on purpose. Just every once in a while, these little handfuls. How many ever, God ever let a little handful drop in you? I'm talking about, hey, how many ever felt like that little boy? Amen. Walked out of that store. Hey, went in the store barefooted, overhauls. Amen. Didn't have nothing. Didn't know his mama didn't have two pennies to get him a handful of candy. But glory to God, if he didn't realize he was going to walk out of that corner drugstore that day. Amen. With a pocket full of candy. How many of you ever felt like that little boy? God just give you handfuls. I mean pocketfuls of candy. Hallelujah. I'm talking about on purpose. All God's people say it. I'm glad that his hand's bigger than my hand when it comes to supplying our needs. How many remember the little widow lady? Had the son. Amen. Told the man of God to go down to Zarephath. You know the story. I only had a handful of meal left in that barrel that day. How many's ever been there? Felt like you only had a handful of meal. Didn't know where the next food was coming from. And God supplied that need. I'm going to tell you something, friend. Hey, you know the story there. Hey, man, glory to God. The man of God said, bake me a cake. She said, hey, I was going to bake it. That last handful of God, we're going to bake it for me and my son. We're just going to eat it and die. Oh, by the way, I'm glad the cruise of oil never failed neither. Hallelujah. Amen. That's another sermon. But listen, every time she went back 3 days, they eat off of that handful of meal. You say, preacher, how much meal did it take to make a cake of bread? I don't know. I ain't no cook. All I know, she had one handful left. And I guarantee you it took a handful to make a cake of bread. 3 days. What the Bible say? I believe every time she went back over that barrel, she reached down into that barrel. Glory to God. Listen, now she thought it was the end. That's all she had left. She didn't make the cake. Hey, glory, hallelujah. Amen. Hey, I believe she went, Brother Travis, praying. God, you know I'm hungry. You know my son's hungry. Hey, you know what we need. Glory to God, she'd reach out in there, and you know what she'd get? What she needed. She'd get another cake, hell. Hallelujah, handful of meal. I'm going to tell you something. God's got here this morning. Whatever you need, He's got it. He knows why this service needs to be this way this morning. He knows why I needed to preach this morning. Brother Keith, I don't know your family needs. I don't know your spiritual needs, physical needs. Glory to God. He's got something. Hey, you know what we need to do is come up here to this old-fashioned altar, reach down in God's barrel and say, God, you know what I need. Lord, if it's just a handful of meal, get your spiritual meal this morning. Amen. Not only that, and I'll close. God's hand's bigger than mine, number three. When it comes to soothing doubt. Let me tell you something, friend. Doubt will kill you. Doubt will cause you to suffer. There's times the devil's come to me and say, oh, you ain't saved. You ain't never been saved. And if you listen to that booger long enough, he'll convince you. I mean, there's been my point in my life, Brother Travis. Devil said, oh, you ain't never been saved. You ain't even called to preach. God didn't call you to preach. The devil ever try to make you doubt that bus ministry? Yeah, sure he does. You know why? Hey, let me tell you something. Because, that's his job. He wants Travis to quit that. He ever made you quit that youth ministry? Hey, make you doubt the youth ministry? Yeah, sure he will. That's the devil's job. He'll come to me and say, you ain't saved in a minute. What do you do? I'll just go back to the altar and say, Lord. You know, in the book of Revelation, chapter 2 or 3, he says to do thy first work. The devil makes you down now. Come back up to the altar and redo what you've done before. And say, God, if I ain't saved, save me. I'd have put a stop to the devil.
Amen.
All God's people saying. Now, listen, I'm glad that I know what I got in my heart. I know I'm saved. How many know you're saved? I know if I should die right now. Oh, by the way, pray for your nation. Pray for your president. Pray for the leaders of this country. Let me tell you something. You know what the devil wants? Heard a wonderful sermon Wednesday night. Amen. I went to a church over on Myers Valley Road, Liberty Baptist Church. I think we heard a wonderful sermon. Amen. On fear. Amen. But let me tell you something. You know what this Muslim group. And oh, by the way, here's what burns me up. They say they're Christian Muslim. They can't be a Christian Muslim. I need the church to say amen right there. Now, I'm talking about you cannot be a Christian Muslim. I ain't saying that they can't be Christian. I'm saying you can't be Christian and Muslim. But there's this junk on TV and on the radio calls in, well, I'm a Christian Muslim. They're full of the devil of hell. You can't have the Son, you can't believe on the Son of God and Allah and be a Christian. Boy, it's quiet in here. That's all right. That's all right. If we got any Muslims, you need to get right, God. You need to get saved. Amen. Get on your face. Amen. And cry out to God. Hallelujah. But listen to me. We're in trouble. I heard that message on fear. You know that's what they want us to do is to fear. God didn't give us the spirit of fear. He gave us peace in our heart. We shouldn't be afraid, amen, to go to town, to the grocery store. You said, but preacher, it's coming to America. Well, if it's coming to America, it just comes. I know whose hand's bigger than my hand. Hallelujah. But that's what they want you to do. They want you to be so scared to death. And you know what? When you get fear, they get control. All God's people say it? Sure. Let's all stand to our feet. That's the message. I'm not going no further. Amen. give it to you as quick as I felt like the Lord to give it to me. Amen. This altar's open. Why don't you come up here this morning and say, God, I just thank you for your hand being bigger than my hand. I want to thank you, Lord, that there's just for supplying my needs, that my doubts that I have. God, I want you to put a stop to them. I know your hand's bigger than my hand. And God, I want to leave it in your hands this morning. Angie, could you sing us a stanza or something? All right, if this morning while she sings, if you've got a need, if you're here this morning and you're lost, if you're here this morning and you're in a backslidden condition, Jesus loves you. Folks all over this altar, amen, how about it? Why don't you come? Why don't you say, Lord, I need a handful this morning.
My soul was astray from the heavenly way.
Whatever you do, don't let nothing hinder you from making a step for God, making a choice for the Lord. Jesus loves you this morning. Let the Holy Ghost conviction of God. You're not here by accident. God sent you here. God knew you'd be here. He knew that you'd have this opportunity to call on a mighty God. He said, if you confess your sin, our sin, he said he'd be faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. All of us to call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Come and make full proof of your ministry this morning. God draws you, God sends you, God's pulling you. And he's wanting you to come talk to him this morning, to have a little talk with him.